On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit. Audio Whiplash, heading into a Canada Day long weekend, where all your favorite radio stations will be hitting you with their, top 100 Canadian songs of all time.
Oh, dear Lord.
You know that's coming on the old Wolf 101.5.
And will it be 100 or will it be 150?
No, it'll be 115. It's the Wolf 101.5, right? Yeah, but I see where you're going,
thank you.
You'll allow me to drag my ass and catch up a little bit.
Yeah, it's all right. We're used to that.
But it's, anyway, there's always some kind of countdown.
How much Loverboy in Blue Rodeo?
It's never enough, man. Never enough
Loverboy.
Triumph
and Rush and, yeah, there's only so
much. If we're doing 150 of the greatest Canadian rock songs ever, you got to figure Rush is good for 35 of them, right? Like
little Tom Cocker and Red Rider. How about that?
Sure. Why not?
Lunatic Fringe got to be in the top 20.
I don't even think I know what that is.
Lunatic Fringe. Yep.
American Woman.
Yeah. I know you're out there. Yeah, you know the tune.
Clearly do not.
Okay. Anyways.
Well, that's anyways. We're out here. We're talking a little. It's topical, man. Because
we're wading into it is what we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then...
How's it going?
What is your top three then?
Canadian rock songs
Canadian
of all time?
Canadian rock songs.
Oh, man. I think we're probably looking at... Whew. Well, I'm throwing in something by the hip.
Yeah, okay. But I'm saying, what do you think the top three are? Not your top three.
You don't think probably New Orleans or something like that is...
See, to me, that is... That's tired.
Yeah, of course. But it's probably the biggest one.
Okay. Well, to me, that's not even a top 10 hip tune, so.
Fuck, man. Again, it's not your top 10.
This is what we just said. We've already established
who?
That. Yes, it's got to be American Woman has to be in there.
Yeah.
And Tom Sawyer by Rush, perhaps.
Sure. Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne.
Yeah. Nope. I don't know. Run to You by, Summer of 69, Brian
Adams.
Yeah,
that's a good call. Little Theory of, no. Maybe they're Canadian too. I don't know. Who am I thinking of?
One of Finger 11 or, I don't know, one of those.
I'm thinking of I Hate Everything About You. What are they? They're just outside Peterborough. Trash.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
Help me out. You know what I'm...
Yeah. They're from Norwood or something like
Cavan,
that.
Cavan, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was 3 days grace. We're both reaching here to adjust our fucking headphone volume.
Yeah. And I don't think they did I Hate Everything About You.
Well, I don't know if that's what it's called, but that's how it goes.
Okay.
I hate everything about you. No. I can't scratch my voice like him, but...
Yeah. I don't think that's them.
It absolutely is them. 3 days grace.
Okay. Well, I hate everything about that song.
All right. So, Sum 41 in there?
No.
I bet you they're in the top 20.
Like thick tongue.
Ajax. Four jackasses from Ajax.
Yes. Yes. No. So I think I have, and if you want to put in there as a dark horse, I said Triumphs, Spellbound.
Yeah. I don't think that's in the top three.
Right on. With some Turn Me Loose, Lover Boy.
That is. Yeah. Why don't you turn me
I wear my sunglasses at night, Corey Hart. Fuck. You ought to know.
Sam Roberts.
Alanis Morissette.
Huh? The Trues.
No.
You people are going to be hearing a lot of these things this weekend. Sung by, not me, luckily.
Yeah. So there you go. I think we've meandered through it.
I think before we get into some other Canadiana here, why don't we start with the idea that the Ontario government apparently are going to be the people who bring down scalpers and bots worldwide on ticket sites. And
Yasser Naqvi, the Minister for Reasonable Concert Ticket Prices.
That's a long business card.
For sure it is. Why is it going
and
to the back?
Doesn't carry here? Much weight either, I don't think.
The minister. Oh, do I get to be a cabinet minister? No. Yes.
How about being the minister of keeping the LCBO open? Good job to you people on that.
Yes.
Managed to avoid a strike.
Well, I think we covered that in a previous Whiplash. I was pretty good with going with a couple local breweries.
Yeah, craft brews and whatnot.
I've got my huge jug of gin.
Glad that's where we went with that. Steve McLean on Twitter of the OHL Fanboys pod. He said, well, on Sunday, he decided to go and stock up, so watch this only last a day, talking about the strike. And so I commented underneath and asked him, your stockpile or the strike is only going to last a day? And he's like, well, we'll see how it goes kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Well, and he's I think he was drinking Keith's, I think, on the...
I can't remember now.
Yeah, come on. You can pick that up.
Step it up there, Steve-o.
Any hooch house, anywhere, like, I don't know. Don't worry about that. Your swill will be available wherever.
But to do it just ahead of the long weekend probably wasn't a bad idea.
For sure.
We mentioned, most people here this close to Quebec weren't overly concerned here in the Ottawa area.
Those same people go, oh, I guess I'll slide across the river and get the 58-can octagon of beer or whatever that is. Yeah, across the river.
And it's like $30 for 60 beers or whatever it is.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Shame about the LCBO.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's a long...
The Ontario government decides they're going to go head-to-head here with scalpers and bots and whatever. And we're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but apparently the tipping point was the hip last summer, right? Where it was clearly going to be the last tour and tickets were in high demand and it was being bought up so quickly. They say at best on a big tour like that, there's only like 50% of the tickets when you start that are available to consumers because the people running the tour and the sponsors and the band's families and these sorts of things have it all before, you know, radio station giveaways and shit like that.
And fan clubs.
Right. And then you get to the general on sale and it gets all bought up by
bots.
Whatever. Yeah. So my thing is, if this was that easy that we here in Ontario, like, this would be done by now, right? They would have figured it out. But Ticketmaster runs their own resale website.
Get me in. Seatwave.
I think that's a different, something else that you're looking at.
Shoehorn me in. Big Hogs Are Us.
I'm uncomfortable with that last. Big Hogs Are Us.
Look at the hog on that guy. Good for you,
look at the hog that guy's with.
Okay. Then I need a big hog.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a big car, you need a big garage.
You think there's... Holy fuck. You think there's any chance this works or that this show stays on the rails?
No, there's zero chance this show is staying on the rails.
There's nothing that you can do, right? Ticketmaster is a multinational company, and these scalpers, these people who do these things now, who run these bots, are from all over the world. I believe you might be able to post an extra cop outside the Air Canada Centre box office for people scalping, but there's nothing you can do to...
Yeah, well, that's what the article said. They were talking about you can have a company in London
Yeah.
Doing this for North America with a programmer in Macedonia.
Right.
With the business being run through India. It's just, yeah, what is Ontario going to do to limit this?
Well, David Reevely, who wrote the piece locally, anyway, in the Ottawa Citizen, this wasn't the headline, but it was what he posted, the tweet with the link in it under, asking the tide not to come in quite so far is what you're essentially trying to prevent.
Right.
It's going to happen, and it's what – but I – this seems like a useless – I appreciate the sentiment, but it opens up to me the more interesting question is, what is the idea here in terms of fair market value? Like, if the market will bear, and they mention here in this thing, no one goes unwillingly, right? No one forces you to spend $300 on a $150 ticket. You choose to go and do that. Is that maybe what the concert should have been priced at originally, and this wouldn't happen?
Well, see, and to me, that's the thing. I think if promoters and bands and whatever else, if they thought they could get that money, they would have charged that.
But it turns out you can.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, is I think you have to set and you go, you know.
I think they don't want to be the ones who look that bad.
No. To me, I think part of it is you want full venues.
Yeah.
Right? I just went to see, last week I went to see the Chili Peppers.
Right.
Right? Before I go to a show, I always flip through, right, and check out the set lists of the sort of the shows that immediately precede.
Yeah. What have they been playing?
What do you mean, what tune?
No,
yeah, okay, sorry, yeah, I thought it was a question, yeah.
No.
No, exactly. I want to get a feel for, is it consistent from night to night? How much new stuff are they playing? What do I got to buff up
when
on?
When might be a good time to run for a beer and a piss?
Yeah, as opposed to peeing right in my pants or...
Sure. When in Quebec?
So yes, in Montreal, so the show previous to that was in Quebec City.
Right.
And underneath, when you click on the set list, it says... canceled due to scheduling issues at the venue.
That seems unlikely.
Turns out the scheduling issue is they didn't sell enough tickets in Quebec City.
Okay.
Canceled the show.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I'm surprised by that.
Okay, well, see, and their summer festival, which is, I think, is called something crazy like Festival d'été.
Sure.
Which is summer festival in French. last summer, just like when they played Blues Fest here in town, they headlined that festival there, and they had the largest audience there for it a year ago. So
people have seen it.
Yeah, but same thing here. They sold out Ottawa this weekend, and they were here last year too.
Was it sold out? I meant to ask you because I read, and this might be full, when you set up the stage and everything, it was 13,000 people. Now, when you put the stage at one end, that cuts off one end and a bunch of sides.
I don't think that's full.
Okay, because the concert review I read for here in Ottawa said 13,000.
Okay,
so.
Now I guess it depends on everything else, but I think they can hold 16 or 17 for a concert.
That would have been
there.
A number I would have thought being more
packed.
Yeah.
See, well, and this is why I go to see it, you know, living in Ottawa, I went 2 hours the other way to catch it in Montreal because the concerts are way better.
Right.
In Montreal than they are here. And that was a sold out show.
So the point here being, couldn't sell near enough tickets at that price point in Quebec, 2 hours down the highway. You sell it out in Montreal at a similar price point, I would imagine.
Six times the people.
Yeah. But it's interesting to me that are we that far away from, because quite honestly, if that's what I'm going to have to pay for a ticket anyway, if I don't get through on the first blush, I'd rather give it to the band than Dick in London who's running the bot, right? Like
And all I'm suggesting is, yeah, if the bands felt like they could do that and they can't across the board, now maybe they can set it for different places.
Set it, yeah, market by market. Like, and I think that sucks because I do think it's shit to, because I've seen this a bunch of times, especially back around the hip, people going, oh, hip fans are whining and complaining they couldn't get tickets. If the market couldn't bear this price, they wouldn't charge this price. Talking about scalpers now, right? At the same time, you go, shouldn't the act have the right to decide what it's worth and not the guy afterwards who bought it up? And
well,
so it's a mixed bag. But if this is what we're doing now, I'd rather just see, fine, the hip is going to charge me $250 instead of $80 for.
Well, and I am totally confused, right? As I said to you, when we talked about looking online, right? And most recently for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah.
Ottawa game 7, right?
Yeah.
We're going to go, there's 8,000 seats left.
Right.
Oh, those are all resale.
Yep.
Right? And so a lot of these areas, they kick you off to their,
yeah,
to what do they call it? registered or
the secondhand market or whatever you call
guaranteed
it, secondary market.
And anyways,
so and that's the problem is with Ticketmaster running one of these. People fully believe, I believe, the Ticketmaster, like it doesn't, people, human beings are not this fast, right? To within seconds of it being publicly on sale, they are already up on the secondary market. That's Ticketmaster who has put those there.
Yeah.
They have sold them ahead of time at marked up prices because they're getting a cut of that. That's fucked. And that's where there's nothing you can do. If a company is going to be allowed to, I mean, I suppose... In this case, the Ontario government can say to Ticketmaster, you are not able to own your own secondary market for Ontario shows. Like, they can legislate that sort of stuff. But I wonder what that does to, if anything, to it just goes to other scalpers, right? But that's the frustrating part is forget the dick who got in ahead of you and is now selling it for three times the price and never wanted to go to begin with.
Yeah.
When Ticketmaster themselves are kicking off available tickets to their own thing that they're going to get a cut of.
Yep.
That sucks, man. That's and it's shit.
Well, because right? And if Ticketmaster's done that, then the beauty is, yeah, if there's going to be 17,000 seats, you just hold back 4,000,
yep.
Right? And then if there's not a pile of demand, well, then you just kick them back into the main Ticketmaster.
Yep. Right.
Right? And they just go for sale. Right? Whereas, yeah, if there is, it also creates demand when you go, this is all that's left. This is all that's left. Right, it drives up the demand.
Well, and that's why you also see for things like sporting events where good seats in the lower bowl are empty come game night because people took, fuck, all that was left was the back row and the 300s, I guess I'll take that. And then later on they re-release because they didn't go on the secondary market, you know, row 12 in the lower bowl.
And to me, I was looking for, it's going to sound odd, but I was looking for Islanders tickets last year.
Right.
And so I don't know what their actual ticket agency is called there.
Right.
But you have Vivid Seats is what you get, right? And so to me, they monopolize everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, whenever you type in anything tickets, like Vivid Seats comes up high.
For sure. Yeah.
Ahead of the actual resale or the actual seller.
Looking for Jays tickets.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of different options that come up before the actual ticket office.
This seems to me to be a huge waste of taxpayer money to fight a fight you can't win. Now, I want it fought, but I wish someone else was fighting it with their own.
Manitoba.
Yeah. Nothing's coming to Toba, so what's the point?
What is it? Like, everything just skips over that.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm just,
So there has to be a way around, like, there has to be a way to stop this. And we've talked about this on previous shows in terms of whether or not you have to show up with your own credit card and the tickets will only be on your phone. These sorts of things are things that I think.
How slow would that slow down the whole process?
It does, but it's worth it. Like when I went a couple of years ago or just a year ago to Garth Brooks, right? The person who bought the ticket had to be there with their credit card and it moved in not too bad, but we were on the floor and I couldn't get up and go up and get a beer or go to the bathroom without that person's phone at least, right?
Like, oof, that sucks.
Yeah. So that or their Visa or whatever was going to stop and get us beer too. Beer or whatever.
Awesome.
Right. But those are the sorts of, so if you buy four tickets, that
you
one
walk
person
around en masse.
Basically, yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah. Whoever bought them, they're fucked for the night kind of thing, right? So I get what they're doing and it does work. And maybe if I drank less beer, I wouldn't have to get as much beer and then I wouldn't have to piss as often. And these sort of wouldn't be as much of a, but there's nothing I can do about that. What it is.
It doesn't actually change for me.
So, it just seems like a battle that you want fought. You want them to find a way around it. But I don't think one province, like maybe in Canada wide, you could find a way, Ticketmaster.ca.
Even then,
to put
I don't know how
on.
You throw borders up.
I don't either for the online world.
For the online world. This is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. Now, again, not the most tech savvy.
Sure.
But I do know that.
You want to move into a couple of things here on the Mansbridge front. There was a lot of people who thought it was a little arrogant back in September or August of last year or whatever that said, this is what I'm going to go out. And he kind of called his own shot. But he is this big Canadian personality. And so for those of you who don't know, Peter Mansbridge, last appearance on the CBC as their head anchor will be during Canada Day coverage on Saturday.
And his final national
we believe, is Friday night. He will host the national Friday night.
June 30th.
And then, yeah, host the Canada Day celebrations, as he's done for years and years and years, from Ottawa on Saturday. When he signs off then, that will be the end of his kind of career as the lead
anchor.
Yeah.
It's trippy to look at that and go, 50 years in news.
Yeah. 30 as the anchor.
But to me, the number 50 in our 150.
Yeah. He's covered a third of
our
country's history. One man, right?
He doesn't look that old to me.
No, and he doesn't look like he's breaking down yet either, right? Like, he probably could do another.
He's no Lloyd Robertson.
I was going to ask you, because we just lost Lloyd a year or two ago. And when they threw around the numbers, the CTV national news actually does a little better in the ratings than...
Almost double. Just shy of six for the national and almost 1,000 for... Yeah, well, that was a later number quoted by...
Yeah, and then they started factoring in all the online stuff for both sides.
Independent stuff puts it around 700 and...
But within the last in the last 3 years or so, those are kind of the two pillars of...
For sure.
Well, go ahead.
My mom used to... That was her evening kickoff. I'm going to bed with Lloyd Robertson. I'm like, hey, mom.
Good for you.
Simmer down there.
Yeah.
Simmer down.
Wording is important, mom.
Yes, exactly. Well, for sure. Whatever you do, whatever helps you sleep, I'm not entirely sure, but simmer down, mom.
Do you care? Do you ever watch, like,
to me? I do. I watch the national.
Yeah, I do too.
I prefer the national.
Yeah.
Now, I will. I like the CTV.
Yeah.
I like Lisa LaFlamme.
Yep.
But to me, there's something about the baritone voice, right? You know, it sounds authoritative in the, Walter Cronkite, Dan Rather kind of.
He's kind of the last of that dying breed of old-time newsmen, right? That for so long, Merle, right, for before them, and going way back on some of these huge American stations. You already mentioned a couple of those guys. And there's been some talk on whether or not that's outdated, and there's been some talk that the new national will be more digital and online savvy. It may not have one host, it may have three hosts.
And the beauty of that is it is such a throwback to 50 years ago,
right?
Where things had moved from up until the 60s when people started to get their news from television.
Mm-hmm.
Right up until that, it was the writers of the day. It was the newspaper ruled the news kingdom, right? And so that was a huge shift. People started to get evening news, the 6 o'clock news.
And you, as you mentioned, your mom was this, a Lloyd Robertson. But people had these allegiances to these trusted newsmen as it shifted into the broadcast era.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I hear it from Lloyd or whatever that is, right?
Or I want Lloyd's take, or I want to know what Peter says about this. And until then, it's not a... And now in this world where you get so... It is a changing world, and we've talked about it on the last show about newspapers, and people are getting their news in other ways. How much of that 10 o'clock nationwide, big-time, wrap-up-the-day news broadcast is still relevant? How many people get that as their news... or how many people knew that already because they saw it on Twitter or...
Less and less and less and less, right? Mm-hmm. To me, anybody below my age isn't watching, the 6 o'clock news or the 10 or 11 o'clock news. They're not.
Well, I'm below your age, and I'm watching the 10 o'clock.
But that's not your only source, though, is it?
No, it isn't. And most of it, I'm getting a recap or a different take at that point. I have kind of heard already that this is a thing. But there is a certain amount of... I'd like to see what the CBC is saying on this, right? Because that's typically, who knows where this internet rabbit hole has led me down, right?
Porn.
Almost always.
Almost always.
At the end of it, I end up at...
I'm exhausted.
But, I've read it here, and it was on this online publication, this writer that I've never heard of, and it seems factual and it seems legit. But if it makes the national, it's probably... real deal.
Very
right?
true. Yeah. Very true. It lends sort of a feeling of authenticity,
yep.
right? If you're getting it
and
from
it's credible.
One of the national broadcasters. It's very true, but you still have to. And as we talked about it on the last show, you still have to deal with a variety of sources.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, especially in – and interesting to note too, right, when they talk about not announcing –
His replacement.
Yeah. Who they're going to have.
So is it your understanding that they're going off the air for a couple months, that there won't be a national? Because it says when it relaunches in October.
See, that wasn't my take on it, but that could very well be the case. My take was just that they were going to have a couple rotating anchors.
Someone will stand in for a couple months and then whatever this new...
Or multiple people.
Right. And then when the new one is ready to launch, it'll be likely on a new set with a new format and this and that, and they'll do that. But for the next couple months, it'll just be,
it'll be very interesting how CTV replaced Lloyd Robertson with Lisa LaFlamme. So saying, yep, we're going to stay the course with the main anchor,
right?
Something you can rely on and something you can go to. Whereas CBC, which has been constantly under fire, right, as a publicly funded broadcaster, but, you know, people are saying we need more, we need less, whatever it is.
Well, on the right side, the conservatives for a while have not just wanted to cut back on CBC's budget, they've wanted Mansbridge to retire for a while. Like, right. He's pretty well known to be a liberal, right? or at least broadcast that way.
And it's a lot of money that goes into that.
And that's the other point. If we're going to do three, right, if we're not going to announce, we don't allow one person to become bigger than the show. We don't allow one person to become so associated with the network so that that's what I think here skeptically, that, you know, if it doesn't work out right away or a couple of years and they get into a PR nightmare, we just punt them off to the side. We don't have one guy that's so tied in.
They should just really have Siri read the news.
Sure.
Or just that computer generated voice.
Well, they said at one point.
Like he used to get on broadcast news, right? It was just this thing that'd be running like this computer generated voice saying.
Tick, 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 tick.
And then he said, take off your blouse.
Again, back to porn. Always. In an interview I read with him, he didn't want to talk too much about it. He's refused to sit in and be a part of forming the new one. He said, you know, that's their thing. He doesn't want to help form the future. That's got to move on without him. But he said, you know, whether or not it's one main anchor, whether or not it's three new anchors, whether or not it's no new anchors, and then in brackets, like, yes, that was actually an option at one point, which leads you to believe it would have been something like just a stream of a reporter on this story, a reporter on this story, a reporter, and no one in the studio to tie it all together. Like, some weird stuff being considered.
Well, see, the thing is, they talked about it going the direction of MSNBC or CNN, where there is no, it's multiple shows doing a bunch of different things, but those are news-devoted agencies.
Right.
CBC is bringing you schlock Canadiana crap TV in between, a little live sports.
Sure. And then this news division.
And then news, right? So it's not like it's only news.
At this point, that literally is, and I guess the Leafs when they're on Saturday night, that is the only time I turn on is for the news or hockey night.
You're not watching any Road to Avonlea or the new version.
Because we only got two channels.
Yeah, exactly. I grew up in
Road to Avonlea, nice.
In rural areas too, right? Where we got CTV, we got CBC, we got Global.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
Three.
But even as a kid, I can remember for a long time, The Simpsons was on every day at 5. They ran Simpsons reruns. And for whatever reason, that came under attack. Like the national broadcaster can't be showing The Simpsons. Well, there you go. You just lost everyone under 50 who ever turned on your station at all.
You can't put anything on there people want to watch?
Every day at 5 o'clock. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But, no, it's interesting to me. To me, this is, I don't know how impactful it will be, but it is a shot to me in terms of the credibility right now of Canadian news. And there are other very good broadcasters. Wendy Mesley is one who's been, Suhanna Marchand's been around forever. There are a lot of very talented people at the CBC, but having that one face that shows up on 9/11 and does 44 hours over 3 days, right?
Like the guy who goes to the Mandela.
Yeah, the guy who does Vimy Ridge every couple of years, the guy who does all these things. Whenever something big happens, there is still this certain thing that goes, I want to know what that guy says, or that at least there's a comfort
or in. Or you know he's going to handle
that's right
it with tact.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're comfortable with, that he's going to ask the right questions,
yep.
and he's going to do it in a way that's professional and experienced.
And I think this is a shot at to that, right? It's a loss. It's never, when you turn on the Saturday night national, it's never quite the same as a Tuesday night national, right? When they've got whoever
in
there.
Well, it has the feel of the weekend,
right?
And nothing's really happened today.
Well, I guess. But even the guy hosting it, like, who's this fucking guy right out of college or whatever?
Is he wearing pants? was he cleaning the toilets before he came on here? What is happening here? Ian Hadamansing.
Oh, good. Look at that callback. He's on the news network now. I like him. But
yeah, I do. For sure, man. He's got a great face.
Whatever
that for means. For news,
for news.
Yeah, no, it just means yeah. He's professional, right? Like
yep.
to me, he's a guy who.
Yeah, to me, it's a loss for Canadian broadcasting.
I think it's the future, man.
Looks like. Any thoughts as we close this, wrap this up on the Canada 150 thing in general? We talked about it off air at one point that it seems like a weird number to celebrate, but how many of, like, I was born well after
sesquicentennial.
Yeah. I was born well after the centennial, and I'm not likely to make the bicentennial, right? So are they trying to throw those of us in those years a bone here?
You don't think
here,
you're making the bicentennial? I hope you're making the bicentennial,
I'm not,
man.
I'm not sold.
Well, see, I think it's much
Where's
less likely. I think it's much less likely I'm making the bicentennial.
I agree with that, too.
But I'm giving you the nod on the extra decade, perhaps, on me.
Maybe. But it does seem like a weird... Hey, I get the 100th. I get the 200th. I would have got the 50th had I been. 150 just kind of seems like an excuse to throw a party a little, doesn't it?
Woohoo! Yeah.
Well, yeah, see, really lame Canadian party.
Yeah. Well, okay. And when I saw something came across the other day and it said Bono and the Edge.
Yeah.
On Parliament Hill. And I'm like, oof, that's interesting.
Well, I wonder, right? And I don't
and then
remember.
I flip over and I find it again. Find it on the CTV.
Yep.
CTV News. I
yep.
find it on CBC Online. And it says, yes, they will be doing one song
right.
around the noon hour. And I'm like, forget it.
Yeah, because it probably cost $3 million to get them
yeah.
there to do it.
And to me, well, because they're playing, they're coming from Newark or somewhere in New Jersey, and they're playing in Cleveland that night.
Yeah. I wonder what the point of that is. Because I don't remember if this was off air or on air. I said, well, you got to get your Canadian acts home, whether you love them or hate them. If this is a big thing.
Oh, that was
and
on
you
air,
want,
I think.
Nickelback, right? Bieber, whatever you want to do, Celine Dion,
Shawn Mendes.
Yeah, if you're going to spend money on this type of thing, you have big enough Canadian acts right now.
Drake.
Sure. I mean, not quite as big as she was. Avril Lavigne was around. Like, there's tons of these sorts of maybe you can push Gord back out there one more time for one or two songs. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
But that's what I get them home from. Wherever they might be touring, you've known this was coming for a very long time. Everyone knew, hey, 150 is coming, right? Like, that wasn't hard to predict.
Yeah, you know what? I'm laying topsoil in the backyard and spreading seed.
You don't give a shit?
Both grass seed and other.
Mm. Yeah. God.
No, I don't care. And you know what? I hate crowds and I hate people.
No. And it was funny, before I moved up here, I used to like coming up here around Canada Day and going and checking it out. Now that I live here, I love to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? And so I remember going to see the Queen.
Yeah. I did that one too.
Five or so
years ago. 2010 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. And so I remember my son. So then that would make my son 7 or 8
yeah.
at the time. He is not good with crowds either.
Okay.
And him just freaking out as we went up Metcalf as you get closer to Wellington,
yeah,
right? And
right.
just the crush of people. Honestly, I could tell whether Buddy next to me was circumcised or not, right? He was just rubbing his business right against me. And I'm like, hey, you're a little close. But yeah, you have people pressed right up against you like you're on a Tokyo subway.
When you're looking like after we're done, like we got there at 8 in the morning to make sure we had a decent... And they were going to do on Parliament Hill first with the musical ride, right? And a couple other things. And people are showing up and showing up and showing up behind you. And we are literally, they have this kind of roped off area. And the group I'm with, that rope is like touching our thighs, right? Like we are the first. And this family shows up, a woman looks and goes on the other side of the rope and sets up these like camp chairs in front of us. And so then, of course, security or the cops come along, tell her she has to move back. And then they start looking at us to... push back and let her get the fuck out of here, right? Like
You didn't move, did you?
No.
Good.
But I'm arguing with a cop instead of this woman, right? Like, okay. How does that seem fucking right? Now I do look like an asshole. She's got kids and whatever, but get here earlier. I don't care. But you turn around and it's thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And, you know, we're a group of young people. At that point, you're looking to go for a pub or whatever. Good luck, right? Like, the whole downtown core, yeah. Everything is just full. And so, not like I said, now that I live here, I can go to that pub on, you know, June 28th or July 5th. Fuck it. I just disappear to the lake for... It's a pain, man. It's
yeah. Well, and see, look at that. Spoken like a true... like a true Ottawa resident.
Ottawa, yeah.
Yeah.
You people are coming in. I'm getting the fuck out.
You know what? You parasites.
Rent you my parking spot.
This
for the
is it. Whatever. Exactly. Come pour millions of dollars into the economy, please and thank you.
Yeah.
And then just, get lost.
It just seems like an odd number to be celebrating. I kind of get they want to... You know, throw a party and make it a big deal.
Yeah,
but they did it wrong.
And you know what? As a city employee,
yeah.
We have to take Monday as a stat in lieu.
Right.
Right. So we don't get it. We can take it and it doesn't cost us anything.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I'm working Monday.
Why?
Well, because I can use that.
Oh, that'll
day
be like
off
double time?
Within the next 3 months.
Oh.
No,
okay.
They don't give me double time.
No. Okay. You can go and you can work and it will save you a holiday day.
Yeah, so I can use that holiday some other time in the summertime.
Nice. Okay, I just assumed it'd be all closed up and
yep, you know. Nope. We're good to go, man.
Right on. Well, enjoy your long weekends, everybody.
Except
Happy
me.
Canada Day. Yeah, Rob, enjoy your standard weekend. Enjoy Peter's last broadcast. Enjoy Bono wiping his ass with the Canadian flag for one song.
A beautiful day.
Probably, yeah.
That's it.
Him and Alfie up there rocking out together.
Right on, man. Now you're talking.
Yeah. YouTube sensation. That's Audio Whiplash. Happy Canada Day.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.